Your Sports Radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority. Woo-hoo! WFXS America.
And we're off and running on what is going to be a terrific Tuesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers with you. Scott Giese will be along momentarily. Well, a couple of momentarilies. Phone line is open, though, to start the big show today at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266. If there is, well, just about any doggone thing you'd like to talk about for the general good of the order here on a Tuesday morning. Once again, lots and lots that we can get into. We'll have a check of sports coming up in a bit. If you are a Phillies fan, you saw something that I had never seen before, and actually I guess had not occurred in a Major League Baseball game since 1971. So stay tuned for details on that coming up in the second segment of today's show. We'll also be talking some free speech issues, in particular on college campuses, a little bit later in the program this morning. And again, phone lines are open. We have lots going on in our area and beyond. Of course, the always tumultuous political scene. Have some local things going on, always concerns, issues, debates at the national level, and we can get into all of it over the course of the program this morning. Big Ten Football Media Days getting underway today out in Las Vegas. Feel like Mr. Giese and I should have been covering that in person is what I feel like. But no, we're here while Penn State is out. Well, three players and head coach James Franklin are out in Las Vegas representing the university. The Penn State portion, by the way, will be tomorrow. Just a couple of things. It is interesting just to see the different perspectives, the different takes folks have. Oh, this is outrageous. This person's lying. That person's lying. Have some friends who are, I think it would be fair to say, on the left side of the political spectrum and without any evidence. That was always the favorite line. Donald Trump, without any evidence, saying that the FBI is making up these Russian hoax allegations. And it turns out they were making up the Russian collusion allegations and so on and so forth. But there are folks now that, Pam Bondi's going to get herself in big trouble here lying about what evidence she has. Let's wait and see, kids. Let's just wait and see. Hunter Biden came out yesterday, if you missed it, and I think it's fair to say Hunter is not altogether pleased. I think we could safely say that with the way his dad was handled and treated by Democrats. He had quite the tirade in a podcast, and we'll talk a little bit about that. I think there's a lot in there that actually is worth delving into. Maybe didn't go about expressing it in the best way, but I could also understand. Probably to me, the headline coming out of it is, according to Hunter Biden, Joe Biden was on Ambien during the now infamous debate. And it's just, it's curious that Hunter concedes that when nobody else at any point was willing to concede that there was anything other than, he's just a little tired from the trip and it was a bad night. I find it interesting. And I think there were several press conferences where folks were like, hey, had he taken something? No, come on. Outrageous. You're trying to make, and now Hunter's like, well, yeah, no, he had Ambien. Oh, okay. But that's, remember when people were asking and, but we don't, and both sides are doing this now where it's like, we gotcha. And then completely ignoring similar situations on your side of the aisle. And headlines, I mean, if you look at Fox News and some of the other right-leaning headlines, we are on the cusp of the true golden age that Donald Trump has been talking about. And if you read MSNBC and some of the other left-leaning headlines, we are about to see the end of the world as we know it all do to Donald Trump. And depending on which side of the aisle you're on, you probably see either side as being pretty close to accurate. I do think hard to argue that we don't have better control of the border than we've had in a long, long time, certainly than we had at any point under Joe Biden. The economy, we're going to see how things shake out. I still myself have some questions about the tariffs, and I think I understand how they're being used by the president, and it is looking right now like it is going to lead to some positive results. I will say I've seen some Republicans that are doing like victory laps, and I'm like, let's wait and see. Midterms are coming up next year. If you are definitively saying, yes, see, we told you, everything is going to be great, and then we see some numbers dip before we get to the midterms next year, I'm just saying it can be dangerous. Now, I think most folks, even those on the left, you're hoping, right, that the economy is in great shape and that overall the country is doing well when we get to the midterms next year. And you can make the argument, if you're a Democrat, well, I'd be doing even better if we were in charge. But, you want to see things go well for the country at large and the economy in general. We're in summer, and I understand, I know that with summer comes the road projects, comes the construction. It's important work that needs to be done. Very grateful we have the folks out there doing it. And also, what a pain in the tuchus. I know where some of them are. I know when they're coming, and you just forget in a moment, and you start heading down a road, and it's, oh, no. That's right. Ugh! First world problems, I get it. Area like this, overall scheme of things, we're not in bad shape. I get it. Still, the momentary frustration is real. And It would be nice, and I know, I understand why it won't happen. It can't happen. I get it. But do you not dream of just one summer where we would have an entire summer where all of the roads you could just get from point A to point B? There would be no orange signs. There would be no people. Again, never going to happen. I understand it, and I understand why, and I appreciate the work being done. I really do. But it's still okay to dream about just that one summer that will never occur where, hey, it doesn't matter where I want to go. I'm not going to have any interruptions. I dream of such a day. I know that that day will never come. I get it. I still dream of it. Mr. Giese, kind enough to join us in studio. Good morning, sir.
I dream of having a dog who does what he's told. How about that?
Well, I mean, now we might be going a bit too far in our demands.
If this is an omen for the rest of the day, can I just go home now? Hi, friends.
Well,
how are you?
Well, stuff happens, as they say.
Folks, this is right up there with the Kiss Cam controversy.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. This is right up there. All right. The Kiss Cam controversy, you got a couple of folks, and afterwards they both were probably thinking, what were we thinking? Well, that was me this morning. I've got a dog. I love my dog. Sometimes he's a little bit of an unruly dog. And he's a dog, of course, who's too smart for his own good. All right. This is a smart dog. So I was about to leave this morning, head to the studio. He knows it.
Uh-huh.
And he runs to the door like, hey, I got to go.
Well.
And I'm thinking, I'm looking at the clock. Okay, I got a little time here. All right. So, and I start to take him out, and I thought, well, I should probably put him on the leash.
Yeah.
So I take him out. Now, this is in our yard, okay?
All right.
And I thought, nah, I won't do that. So I just let him go. Okay?
Yep.
Now, he did do his something. He did do business, all right? And then he realized, I think I'd like to run around for a while.
Hey, hey, hey.
Okay. And I'm like, come. Dog's name is Domino. Domino, come. No. He just stares. He has this stare like.
You're so funny.
Oh,
you and your cub.
That kind of a stare.
Uh-huh.
I spent the next 25 minutes chasing him because.
Uh-huh.
He's only a year and a half old, all right? So he's still a young dog, very athletic.
Uh-huh.
This dog is fast, okay? And I can't, if I were half my age, I couldn't catch him, all right? I can't catch this dog. And so for 25 minutes, we played keep away. And I had a food treat. No, that didn't do any good. I tried some strategy because I'm the human. I'm the smart one.
Sure.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Uh-huh.
Finally, after 25 minutes, I think he just got tired. Like, okay, I'm kind of petered out now. I'm
a little tired. Enough.
We're and good. I was able to get my hands on him. Now, of course, you know, this morning, actually this morning was comfortably cool. You're talking about summers with no road cones and whatever. No, that's never going to happen, pal.
No, okay. I know that.
Never
I still dream of it.
I mean,
I still dream of that opportunity.
Spring, falls, and winters, I don't think we'll ever have some of that stuff. But it was comfortably cool this morning. The grass was
a little wet.
And so he's all wet, so I got to grab a towel.
Yeah.
You know, I got to towel him off. Before I, you know, put them away, so to speak, and so on. Yes, I was outsmarted by a dog this morning. I'd like to say I will never make that mistake again. I probably will at some point, like the two people in the Kiss Cam video, all right,
mm-hmm.
or the Kiss Cam controversy. Anyway, so, hi friends, how's your day? Like I said, if this is the start of my day, this is going to be a humdinger. You go ahead.
Well, one other story that got my attention yesterday, and for a few different reasons. I really did love The Cosby Show. I just thought it was great television, wholesome, fun. and genuinely funny. And Theo, played by Malcolm Jamal Warner, was just a great character. And I think most of you have heard by now, Malcolm Jamal Warner, who played Theo on The Cosby Show, died at the age of 54 in a drowning incident down in Costa Rica. He was on a family vacation, and he drowned while swimming. It sounds like a rip current. And so it hits me because, again, I enjoyed The Cosby Show. I've seen some things, again, what people get upset about. And actually, two different friends have posted, you know, Malcolm Jamal Warner, dear media, did more than just play Theo on the Cosby Show. Okay, yes, and Theo on The Cosby Show is by far what he's best known for. Anytime an actor or actress passes away, or a singer, it's like, well, they get associated. You would probably best know them from this role. Well, they played thousands of other roles, or, you know, tens of other roles at least, hundreds, whatever. It's, so, okay. I mean, that's what you're going to get upset about, that they're pointing out what most people would most recognize the name and his face from? That, like, that just seems... And yes, he's been in all kinds of movies and shows over the years, but yeah, the overwhelming majority of people, if you say the name, what's Malcolm Jamal Warner for? Oh, that Cosby Show. He played Theo. Well, that's all people are saying. Again, it nowhere have I read a story that says Malcolm Jamal Warner only known for best known for playing Theo Huxtable. Well, that's what he's best known for. That's all they're saying. People. But the drowning situation, and we have this every summer, and it is just one of those things. Almost every summer we have an incident, and it causes me to pause. And my wife will tell you I am probably too careless around water, and it's not that I don't respect it. It's not, but I'm like, well, I can figure it out if you get into a situation. And again, it is one of those things, until you experience something, I think it's hard to truly appreciate the danger. And I've just never had a situation, and I've been around water pretty much all of my life, and thankfully, I'll knock on the formica here, I just have not had a personal situation where I'm like, oh my God, This is dangerous. I've been tired out swimming, and it's like, all right, well, let's get into the shore, that type of thing. But I've just never had even a moment where I'm like, oh boy, this feels dangerous. And so, as expected, networks are having experts on. Hey, if you're in a riptide, you know, don't fight it. Try to go. Actually, the one I saw this morning, one lifeguard said, you know, they say kind of stay parallel to shore. He's like, more just let it take you where it's taking you. And if it's taking you away from shore, let it do that. Like, don't fight it. But you want to try to keep the shoreline in your view and all of that, but not, it doesn't necessarily, because it could pull you different directions. But this is always one of those, and we have, you know, there are boating accidents and drownings every year, and it just you need to be careful, and it's a reminder to yours truly. And I think it's one of those things. I was just flipping around on the radio dial this morning, and on another station, they are talking about the number of accidents in the area and the need to not speed, and a couple of things there. It's easy to speed these days, easier than it's ever been, because the vehicles are built so well. You honestly don't, if you're not paying attention, It is really easy to get your vehicle going very fast and not really feel it. It's a comfortable ride. It's not like, oh man, I can, and then all of a sudden you look down, it's like, oh, wait, speed limit's 45, going 70, whatever it might be. Like it is easy to, if you're not paying attention to speed, and also if you've not been in a situation where, hey, this is creating a real problem with you speeding. It's, oh, wow, come on. I'm trying to get there a little faster. Well, yeah, but there is a reason. In most cases, Blue Course might be the exception. in most cases, there is a reason why the speed limit is what it is. Remember how Blue Course was supposed to be, no, guys, it's just going to be a thoroughfare. We're just going to let you, it's a connector. We're just going faster. And remember how some of us were raising our hand? It's like, okay, but we're worried that you'd like put housing in there and then lights and it's going to kind of defeat the No, that's not what's happening. No, this is just to make it faster to get from that end of college to this end of Atherton. And now, whatever it is, 20, 25 years later. Oh yeah, no, there's going to be developments all over the place and we're going to lower the speed limit by 20 miles from what we initially told you it was. Oh, did we not mention that? No, I mentioned that. I was asking about that. And you said, no, that won't happen.
And you believed it.
I get sidetracked. So, bottom line, be careful out there. And summertime is a time where we just generally, I think, we get a little more lax. And even if you're a strong swimmer, making sure you're out with somebody else, very important, the old buddy system if you're swimming, and having that awareness. And again, I don't have all of the detail. I haven't seen a lot of details. I'm not even sure if it's definitive that it was a riptide, but that seems to be, at least the one report I saw, that's what the conjecture is that ultimately led to Malcolm Jamal Warner's passing. And we've had, again, he was 54 years old, for crying out loud. I mean, and he's on a family vacation. It's just, not that there's ever a good time or a good way to pass, but man, those girls that were at the camp in Texas, it just, it's just beyond comprehension, really. It's because how many of us send kiddos off to a camp? Well, my kiddo's at scout camp right now. And the furthest thing from your mind is, it's like, boy, I hope he doesn't get a bee sting and hope everything goes okay, that the weather's all right. You're not thinking, boy, I hope he returns on Thursday. Like, that's a given. Right? Like that's, you're not thinking of that when you send a kiddo off to camp. And you're not thinking when you're going on this vacation to Costa Rica, the last thing you're thinking about as a family is, boy, sure hope dad doesn't drown. He's obviously, we're going to come back and have great memories of this vacation and then just something truly unthinkable like this happens. So, as we occasionally say, make sure you kiss your loved ones, wish them a good day, let them know you love them, because you truly just never know. I mean, every day is a blessing in and of itself, and just another reminder. And again, I enjoyed that show. I have seen him in a couple of other things. And honestly, when I see him in other things, it's like, hey, that's Theo from the Cosby Show. I've seen him in a couple of, I think, crime shows. And anyways, rest in peace, Malcolm Jamal Warner. Thank you for the memories. And folks, again, just, I try to remind myself too, just like, be a little careful when you're in situations that can be dangerous, even if you don't instinctively think of them as especially dangerous.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break here. We got our sports segment coming up. We do have a guest at 9 o'clock, Sean Stevens from the Fire Group, talking about free speech, not just college campuses, pretty much anywhere. I heard you mention the Hunter Biden interview.
It was memorable.
What is it with free speech and F-bombs? I mean, I'm going to ask Sean that question, along with a lot of other questions. I guess that's free speech, but I simply don't understand some
people.
You're effing
right it is.
Huh?
You're effing right it is.
Thanks for cleaning that up.
Huh?
All right, let's take a break, and we'll have some open line time in there as well. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 98.7thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 98.7 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 98.7 The Fox.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season, heat in the winter, AC in the summer, plus 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick-connect load and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughter Equipment's Fair Savings event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Hey, you! Why are you helping hang this drywall?
Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfon Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfon. Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, in beautiful downtown Belfon, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at belfontfair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Oh. Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. It is time for a check of the sports scene. And Big Ten Football Media Days getting underway today out in Las Vegas.
We should be there.
We should be out there covering it, doggone it. In the preseason media poll released yesterday, Penn State is the favorite to win the conference championship
definitive
in the upcoming season. Penn State just edging out Ohio State top the rankings. Penn State receiving 11 first place votes and 435 points. Ohio State one fewer first place vote with 10 and four fewer points, 431. Ohio State, followed by Oregon, which is third with two first place votes and 405 points. And then rounding out the top 10 in the conference in order, it's Illinois, then Michigan. Michigan had one first place vote, the only other school besides Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon to garner a first place vote. Indiana 6th, Iowa 7th, Nebraska, team I think you need to keep an eye on, 8th, USC, a pivotal season for Lincoln Riley, checking in at number 9, and Washington, a resurgent Huskies program, in at number 10 in the preseason media rankings for the Big Ten. Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti will be speaking today after reportedly sending a letter to the NCAA Committee on Infractions asking for no further punishment for Michigan. They've suffered enough, what with them receiving no real sanctions over the sign-stealing case, almost like there would be no disincentive to cheat in the future. But I digress. State head coach James Franklin will take the podium tomorrow, and Penn State players Drew Aller, Nick Dawkins, and Zaki Wheatley will also be available tomorrow out at Big Ten Football Media Days. U.S. wrestling team had an exhibition duel yesterday against Russia in Budapest, Hungary. Russia winning the duel, taking 6 of the 10 bouts. Penn State sophomore-to-be Luke Lilladol lost an 8-5 decision at 57 kilos to world number 4 Musa Metchnikov, I think. Something
sure.
Close to that.
That was good.
Lilladol was the only U.S. wrestler with Penn State ties to compete in yesterday's event. And today does mark the final day of the 11U Pennsylvania Little League Baseball Championships, which have been running the last week at State College's Montressor and Gilfields. They'll wrap things up this evening. The Penn State men's and women's track and field teams, along with 29 individuals on those teams, earning all academic honors for the 2024-2025 season, as announced by the USTF CCCA. The Penn State women's team finishing the year with a cumulative grade point average of 3.54. The Penn State men's team with a cumulative GPA of 3.19. Both squads earn the all-academic team honors as a result. The 29 individual awardees earning their recognition by achieving at least a 3.25 grade point average or better, cumulative GPA that is, and also needed to make outstanding athletic contributions during the season as well. Also, Penn State women's track and field senior Florence Karen has been selected as a first-team academic All-American, as announced by the College Sports Communicators. She is one of just 15 Division I women's track and field and cross-country student-athletes across the country to earn first-team academic All-America honors. She is now a two-time academic All-American after earning second-team plaudits last year as a junior. She owns a perfect 4.0 cumulative GPA as a linguistics major and has had six All-America honors in cross-country indoor and outdoor track and field during her Penn State tenure. Manny Jackson's three-run homer in the eighth inning, his first of the season, lifting the State College Spikes to a 5-4 victory over the Frederick Keys last night at Mimeo Field at Harry Grove Stadium in the MLB Draft League second half of the season. Fourth straight win for the beloved Spikes. With two outs in the eighth, Jackson sending an 0-2 pitch over the right field fence to provide the winning margin for the State College Spikes. The Spikes and Keys will wrap up that series tonight at 7 o'clock, and then the Spikes return home for the rest of the week and weekend. The Pittsburgh Pirates got another strong start from Paul Skeens, and this time they decided, hey, we'll have the bullpen show up, and we'll get just enough offense, three runs in the second inning, thank you very much, to actually give Skeens a win.
Hey.
What? His first since May. The debate.
His first since May.
May.
Oh, my God.
The question is, can Paul Skeens win the Cy Young Award with a losing record, which is very likely what he'll have, and very likely he is the best pitcher in Major League Baseball this season. But the Pirates have been abysmal. But not last night. Last night they showed up well enough. Skeens throwing six shutout innings and striking out six against the Tigers. And his ability to come up with the pitch when he needs it. There were a couple of gave up a leadoff double, then a single, and it's like, yeah, no problem. Boom, boom. Gets the ground out, gets the strikeout. He makes it look effortless. I think 86 pitches when they pulled him last night in the sixth, and it's like, oh boy, Tigers have been waiting for this now that Skeens is out. But nope, the bullpen came up strong as well. Bednar picked up the save. Pirates with three runs again in the bottom of the second for the only scoring in the contest. Spencer Horwitz leading the Buccos offense. He went 3-for-4 with an RBI in that second. Brian Reynolds drove in the other two runs with an RBI single. And the Pirates, after losing three straight to the worst team in the American League, beat the best team in the American League.
Yeah,
that's
Detroit.
Baseball for
They're
you
good,
kids.
Yeah.
That's although the Tigers have been struggling. They were struggling a bit going into the All-Star break and have not exactly lit the world on fire coming out of the break, but still best record overall in Major League Baseball. Going into this series, the second of the three-game series at PNC Park, on tap tonight, 6:40 for the first pitch. Mitch Keller will get the start for Pittsburgh against Casey Mize. Airtime, if our automation works correctly tonight, which it didn't last night, will be at 6:15 on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. If it's not on right at 6:15, bear with me. I'll get in as quick as I can, and we'll see if we can get it on. The Philadelphia Phillies took the opening game of their series with the Red Sox last night, 3-2 in 10 innings. Ah, typical extra inning win for Philadelphia. Oh, no, no. No, not a typical win. Jaron Duran hit a leadoff home run for Boston. Nick Castellanos with an RBI single to tie the game in the fourth. And then JT Realmuto drove in Castellano with an RBI single in the same inning. Trevor Story then tied the game in the top of the fifth for Boston with an RBI single. And then the Phillies won it in the bottom of the tenth with a walk-off.
I saw the story, so I know what it is.
A walk-off
catcher interference.
Yes. The first time a Major League Baseball game ended with a walk-off catcher's interference since August 1st of 1990. 71.
Wow.
What is even crazier, Max Lazar struck out Roman Anthony in the top of the 10th, leaving the go-ahead run for Boston stranded at third. So the Phillies then load the bases. We're in the bottom of the 10th. Edmundo Sosa is at the plate with the bases loaded. What is even more remarkable, how often do you see a catcher's interference call on a ball? I mean, you don't see a catcher's interference call very often, period. On a ball, I'm not sure I've ever seen it. Because usually catcher's interference is your bat hits the mitt, so you're swinging, and it's like, ah, hey, the reason I missed it, his glove got in the way. It was a ball call. And, by the way, it was the right call on the ball, and it was clearly catcher's interference when you look at it. It was a check swing, no question. When you look at it on the replay, the glove gets in the way of the check swing. Sosa immediately points to the umpire and says, dude, that's catcher's interference. Umpire says, let me go take a look at it. Looks at it, it's like, yep, that's catcher's interference. So one of the most bizarre endings I've ever seen to a major league game is after a review, a catcher's interference ruling on a ball. I mean, that is about as unique a way as you will ever see a game come to an end. Again, first walk-off catcher's interference in Major League Baseball since August 1st of 1971.
Catcher's interference, everybody moves up a base. So
yes,
there's a guy on third base, he scores the run, game's over.
And
that's it. It's bizarre.
It was really bizarre.
It was bizarre.
Just a very unique ending to what was a really good game last night between the Phillies and the Red Sox. Actually, the Pirates-Tigers game was a really good game. Both teams played very well, and in both games, some stellar defense by both squads as well. But both the Pirates and the Phillies get big wins last night, and the State College Spikes coming out of the break after winning the first half of the season. They may be the team to beat in the second half of the MLB Draft League season as well. And keep your eyes out in Las Vegas for any news that may break. I don't think anything terribly startling is going to break. It is interesting that the commissioner, let's not punish Michigan any further. What with us not punishing them at all to this point for cheating and going to pretty extraordinary lengths to cheat. I find that interesting.
All right. There we go. Before we take a break, now, at the very beginning, you mentioned those Big Ten rankings.
Uh-huh.
From where? Where was that? What was that exactly? What was the source of the rankings? Where'd it come from?
Oh, that's all over the place. Big Ten media. Days.
Big Ten. Okay. Because I came across something yesterday, and after you said that, I'm like, wait a minute. Let me look at this a little more closely. Because I pulled something from social media. Now, once again, I let the unruly dog go, and he made a mess of me.
Oh, boy.
I picked up this thing. I thought, oh, this must be the Big Ten poll. Actually, it's not, now that I'm looking at it a little closer. I've never heard of this bunch. They're called the Kings of the North. You ever heard of Kings of the North? These are guys, they follow Big Ten college football.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was like, where are they from? And I look it up, and they're from the North. And I'm thinking,
there you go.
What the heck is that, Minnesota?
White North?
Apparently it's a couple of guys. They have a YouTube channel. You know, they talk about college football all the time, blah, blah, blah. So they have their own Big Ten preseason poll. The Kings of the North.
Good
whoever
job.
The heck they are. They polled 54 voters who cover the Big Ten and national college football. See, I thought this was the Big Ten's rankings. You know, their version. No, this is the Kings of the North version.
Yeah, Big Ten Media okay. Is what was...
Well, this isn't necessarily, I guess, Big Ten Media, because I said definitive. They have Penn State definitively first with 35 first-place votes, Ohio State second with 18. Mm. Oregon has one. And then there's the rest of the bunch.
Yeah.
So when I said definitive, I was looking at this thing like, whoa, all right, has Penn State ever been one?
No.
No, this is the first time, isn't it? Wow. So, yeah, we'll follow the remarks that are made in Vegas this week. You know, James Franklin has a time slot. Might be this afternoon. I can't remember when that is.
Well, not in the James Franklin era. Penn State hasn't been number one. I think 99, probably they were number one that season.
Oh, okay. Good
but,
point.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Not in the first time in the James Franklin era.
All right. I just want to see if some reporter's brave enough to ask Coach Franklin. So, Coach, you finally going to win the big game this year? Because, again, you go all over social media. That's all they want to say. Oh, Franklin can't win the big one. Oh, you can't. Oh, he's going to blow it. Oh, blah, blah, blah. All over the place.
Yep.
Blah, 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 whack, whack, whack. I just wonder if a reporter is going to be bold enough to be stupid enough to ask a question like that one. You're going to win the big one this year, Coach? Watch. You just watch.
I'm watching.
All right, we'll see. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have a little open line time. We're going to talk about free speech in our second hour. Sean Stevens from FIRE is going to join us. Yeah, I've got a couple of college things, but we're mainly going to open it up more about just free speech in America today. Do we have it? Don't we? What is it? All that sort of stuff. So you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We will come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you
feed the beast.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a gorgeous Tuesday morning in the Valley of Happiness. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is open, a little open phone time here at 814-954-7266.
Yeah, we'll be joined here in just a bit by Sean Stevens from FIRE. That stands for Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. We've had Sean on a couple times before. I believe it's October. They come out with their annual rankings of free speech on college campuses. And we've had Sean on that before. But recently I just reached out to him like, Sean, let's just talk about free speech, not just college campuses. I mean anywhere. All right, politics, just anywhere. And he's like, sure. So Sean's going to join us here in about 10 minutes or so to, you know, sort of discuss all that stuff. I'm going to ask him, they seem to be mostly from the political left. It's perfectly acceptable to drop the F word now. Just over and over and over and up. You can put it on signs. You can do it in podcasts. And apparently this is now acceptable. I'm going to ask Sean, okay, free speech. All right, is there a line where you're not supposed to cross? Now, maybe there isn't. Free speech. And so on. As you can tell, if you're a regular listener, using expletives, I don't understand. I don't get it. For me, when I see somebody using expletives, that tells me they've got nothing else to argue with. And so then they start swearing. Like, that'll make them feel important, or, hey, look how important I am. F this, F that. I don't get it. I don't understand why to do that, but we'll save that for later on.
One other quick sports note. I forgot to mention the Champions League of American Wrestling, which is a new professional amateur wrestling league. So it's a format that will have dual meets. So they have, I think it's six teams in the league. They had their first four rounds of their draft last night. First ever draft. And Zane Rutherford was the number one overall pick.
Cool.
Goes to the Cradle City Cicadas.
The what? Where's Cradle City? What's that?
Right there in Cradle City, where the cicadas are. Okay. I don't know
where that is.
He was drafted number one overall in the league last night. I think they have another four rounds tonight in that league. So a couple of professional wrestling leagues getting up and running here this year. But congratulations to Zane Rutherford, number one overall pick from Penn State, of course. Also, The Steelers yesterday unveiled their throwback uniform for the upcoming season. It will pay homage to the 1933 Pittsburgh Steelers. That would be the inaugural Pittsburgh Steelers football team.
Okay.
And I have to say, of all of the throwback, I'm not a huge fan of the Bumblebee look. These ones I think are pretty cool. And the fact that you're paying homage to the original team is also pretty cool. Now, there's a little bit of a Bumblebee look still to it. I will concede that point, but I think it's going to be a pretty neat look for the Steelers in the upcoming season. So
I've never liked the Bumblebee uniforms.
Yeah, it's hard to take them seriously.
Yeah, it looks like something a kid would wear.
Yeah,
you know. I'm thinking that's what they actually wore back in X year or whatever. Like, really? It's like, who was the fashion designer back then? Holy fright. I've never been a fan of that. I mean, the throwback, you're doing a throwback game, all right, that's fun, that's cool. You know, Denver used to have the Orange Crush, so they bring back the Orange Crush uniforms. All right, that's neat. The Bumblebee one's just like, that's what they really wore? It's like, really? Anyway, we got that going. Yesterday mentioned Stephen Colbert, or however he pronounces his name. All right, he's having his late night talk show pulled by CBS. It's going to go through May, and then he's done, I guess. Now, for those of you that do X Twitter, hey, follow us. All right, that'd be nice.
Yeah, do it.
Let's Talk 987 Fox. That's what we are. Let's Talk 987 Fox. And I do a fun little thing most days. I say, so what do we know today? And I have a list of usually three things that are interesting for today. Yesterday, I included number three clip. I mean, Colbert shouldn't worry. He's going to be fine. All right.
I think he's going to make it.
He's going to be perfectly fine. And maybe if I were he, maybe not. Well, no. I mean, they've already announced they're going to pull the plug on a show. So why not? I mean, MSNBC would love to have his show.
Well, there's reports out there that he and Rachel Maddow are teaming up for some sort of show or project.
CNN, frankly, would love to have his show.
Yeah.
All right. And, of course, media today is so different. We've got streaming now. Now, here's where it gets a little, all right. His show's on CBS. MSNBC, of course, would be a totally different network. Okay. Peacock. Oh, one of our favorites. Peacock is the streaming channel for NBC.
Mm-hmm.
So you have lots of NBC stuff there. CBS's streaming channel is Paramount Plus. All right. Could he do a show live streaming on Paramount Plus for a lot less money? Again,
with a lot fewer workers. Yes.
Again, the idea, the stories say this guy's $40 million in the hole every year, his show. $40 million in the hole every year. And so when the announcement was made by CBS, last week, this is terrible, it's horrible. I'm thinking the finance people stepped in at CBS to say, this is insane. We can't keep doing this. We're losing $40 million every year. This is crazy. We can't do this. All right. So, again, for those of you, if you're a Colbert fan or whatever, his show is being pulled because it's way too expensive. And apparently, either they can't cut costs or they won't cut costs. So CBS is like, all right, we're done. We'll find something else to do because we can't afford a $40 million hole every year. All right. I mean, Penn State. Trustees had a meeting on Friday, a regular meeting, and President Neely Bendapudi comes out and says, hey, we got some good news. That $90 million deficit is now apparently a $44 million surplus. How's that for a turnaround? All right, so for the fiscal year that just ended recently, Penn State has a $44 million surplus. They did have a $90 million deficit. Something, they made some good moves. Although now I'm waiting to see, well, can we keep the branch campuses open if we have a surplus? Get ready for that argument, but that's kind of interesting. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk free speech with a guest from FIRE from Philadelphia. What do you think about free speech? What is accepted? Maybe what isn't? And yes, we'll have one or two college campus questions there. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll do all of that when we come right back.
98.7 The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 98.7thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 98.7 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 98.7 The Fox.
Hey, how you guys doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from PAMP.
What's the name of Yun's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfont Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfont. Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, in beautiful downtown Belfont, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at BelfontFair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
You've got to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a horse, pig, or cow, or a dog or cat, or even the birds, let the Center Hall Farm Store help you feed the beast. And the Center Hall Farm Store can help you get your lawn, garden, and orchard growing strong. Stop on in at 110 West Allison Street in Center Hall, or check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com. And let us help you feed the beast.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show.
A beautiful Tuesday morning.
It really is.
So let's see if we can mess it up.
Well, no. As we are wont to do.
Not bad.
Yeah.
We'll have a little open line time toward the end here of this hour, so stay tuned. But right now we want to welcome back to our show Sean Stevens from the group FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Sean, first off, good morning, and thanks for being brave and coming back to our program today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. We're going to talk about free speech today, and we've had Sean on the program a couple of times before, mainly around the idea of college free speech and expression and so on. And, Sean, I definitely want to ask about that, but I want to save that for later on. All right. When I reached out to you recently, it was just about the idea of free speech. And, you know, what are things like right now, you know, with the different political landscape? I mean, we had you on, I think it was October of last year. Well, the political landscape has changed. It's different now. You know, and how does that affect free speech and such? First off, let's start with some basics. For folks that maybe aren't familiar with FIRE, or they're a relatively new listener, so they don't know what FIRE is and so on, if you would, tell us something about yourself. You know, what do you do? And tell us about FIRE. Tell us about your group.
Sure. I'm the chief research advisor at FIRE. My background is I have a PhD in social political psychology and have been doing survey-based research at universities and for nonprofit organizations for over a decade. FIRE stands for the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. We were originally founded as the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. So the former, I think the best way to explain the former is it's kind of an old-school ACLU that dealt strictly with college campuses and defending the rights of students and faculty. And then a few years ago, we expanded those efforts to move off campus, and now we have that goal for all Americans.
All right. And you folks are based in Philadelphia.
Yeah, we're based in Philadelphia and have a second office in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense. I'd get that. All right. Let me, Sean, just this is a wide open general question. All right. We're in 2025. How are free speech rights today? Just sort of in our country, just in general, is it going, oh, things are going great, or, oh, boy, we're really struggling in different ways and so on? Just sort of an open-ended question, how is free speech in America here in 2025?
So I'll start the preamble with effectively when you investigate or research this topic, I know a lot about it. I think the one thing you would say is one always has to have some level of vigilance for defending against threats to speech and where they may come from, and the climate and kind of social political changes can change where some people perceive those threats are coming from. I think you'll get a very polarized view, I actually know from our own data that the view on how free speech is doing is quite polarized. Probably wouldn't surprise most of the viewers here to learn that prior to the election, Democrats thought things were doing pretty well and on the right track, like a majority of them, and Republicans felt the opposite. As usual, independents were always somewhere in between them. And this has completely flipped since the election last November. Republicans feel a lot better about the direction of free speech in the country right now, and Democrats are now a lot more concerned. I think that's pretty normal. It's like a political effect, you know, who's in power versus who's out of power. But so I'd say, I guess, overall, it's probably a mixed bag, and it's going to depend on who you talk to and what their politics are.
All right. So if things have flipped, that obviously means that free speech has somehow changed. I mean, if things have changed, if people feel differently, something must have changed. Besides the obvious, there's a different guy in the White House now. I mean, what else?
I think that's the main factor. The main factor is the switch in leadership and you know, who controls the country. I mean, it's a very clear partisan effect when Democrats controlled the White House and Democrats had the expectation that they were going to win the election. They felt very good about it. Republicans being out of power, and I think they also thought they were going to win the election, but they weren't in power, and had, you know, a number of examples they could point to over the last decade or so of government censorship against them. I think they rightfully were concerned. And then to see it flip, because now, you know, you have a Republican president, Republican-controlled Congress. I think it's a largely a partisan effect, I think.
But actually,
I don't think much has changed, like, on the ground per se. But it's just who's holding the lever of power and then how they're using that in the space.
I mean, but actual, I mean, Sean, actual free speech hasn't changed, right? It's the same.
Yeah. I'd say for the most part, yeah. I mean, this is largely a polarized perceptions, and it's due to people's politics, a lot of it, I would say. Yeah.
See, I bet there are people listening. They're like, no, no, no. They're disagreeing with that. I guess, okay, here's a silly question, Sean. All right? This is like elementary school, maybe. What? Give us a definition of free speech. All right? Hopefully most people know this is in the First Amendment. For goodness sakes, folks, please tell me you know that. Freedom of speech. What is your definition of free speech? What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so the protections we have in the United States are stronger than anywhere else in the world. There's very few things that are deemed not protected, right? So these are incitements to violence, but kind of that it's going to happen immediately after you make the speech, right? So saying, oh, hey, I'd like to drop a bomb on this country in response to something on Twitter is not going to be that doesn't fall under incitement to violence, because the person posting that probably doesn't have the power to drop a bomb on anybody, and they're just like saying something in a forum. A different circumstance would be if you're like literally outside someone's house and there's an angry mob and you're basically directing them to storm the house. That might be considered unprotected speech. Child pornography obviously falls under this as well. A few other things that are deemed extreme obscenity. But for the most part, most speech, even lies, misinformation, even what a lot of people would call, quote, hate speech, is protected by the First Amendment.
Okay, now there's a good question, Sean, because we see the term hate speech still tossed out every now and then. You know, some big court case, or we're going after somebody, and so on. And I've always found, this is Scott, I've always found hate speech to be very nebulous. Can you give a definition of what exactly hate speech is? Because sometimes that thing, that title gets thrown out very quickly. Oh, there. What exactly, from your perspective, what exactly is hate speech?
So legally, it's not a concept in our country. If you go off of how it's interpreted in other countries, or what I think what most people mean when they use the term is that they have in mind speech or expression that's kind of derogatory, maybe laden with stereotypes about specific groups that kind of puts them down. The argument is effectively that this causes actual, like, physical harm, which is debatable. There's some psychological evidence that say, harmful, offensive words, hurtful words can cause physiological changes and, I guess, emotional harm. So, I mean, there's, like, a subtle debate there. But I think what most people have in mind is terms like that. But those terms are generally protected unless they're being used in a way to, like, incite violence.
How often does that happen, Sean? I mean, do you folks keep statistics or something on this?
We don't have statistics on it, but through conversations I've had with many of the lawyers at FIRE, proving incitement in a court of law is very difficult.
All right. That sounds
so
right.
The charges might be, the charges are probably far more commonly filed than actual convictions occur, but I wouldn't even be able to tell you how common it is that people file, like, a charge of incitement against someone else. We don't have statistics on that, like, right at hand.
Now, you had a comment a couple of minutes ago that, free speech in America is, I'm paraphrasing, like, better than any place on the planet. I'm rounding here. There are, like, 200 countries on Earth. There isn't another country that has, I want to say has free speech, but I mean the same level of liberty with their speech. There isn't another country on earth that has that level when it comes to speech. There isn't anybody, not one country.
No, we have the strongest protections for free speech in the world. clearly there is levels, like a good deal of freedom of speech in countries like Canada, Western Europe, most of Europe, but even within those countries, there are more restrictions on what can and cannot be said. And I'll use the UK as kind of an example. You know, recent years, over the past 5-10 years, there's been a number of laws introduced there that allow the government to punish people for things that we would find like pretty egregious here. And would be very upset about if our government was punishing people for.
I was going to ask, do you folks do surveys or whatever from other parts of the world? Is there some measure out there that you folks have or somebody else has of free speech rights?
Yeah, so we have a employee on staff who's kind of like our international free speech expert scholar, Sarah McLaughlin. She has a book coming out later this summer, Authoritarians in the Academy, details kind of how foreign influence has seeped in to U.S. colleges and universities through kind of dark money funding and other ways, and it's impacting speech on those campuses. We also have a research fellow who has a center, has a free speech center at Vanderbilt University, Jacob Meacham-Gama. He wrote a book, like a free speech history book, that came out a few years ago. I don't know if he's still affiliated with this outlet in the Netherlands. He might be, he might not be, but it's justitia.org. They have some measures of free speech that they've looked at in Europe and internationally. So I would recommend checking their stuff out.
All right. Now, COVID was 5 years ago. Oh, boy, did we have lots of things flying around about COVID. What, from your knowledge or research, did we learn anything from the whole COVID situation? Like, okay, we can say this. Well, no, you can't say that. Well, wait. Did we learn anything from the whole COVID episode from 4 or 5 years ago?
So I'm a little optimistic that we're on the way to. I do think that in the scientific realm and in kind of the epidemiology realm, the, you know, like the tarring and feathering of Jay Bhattacharya, who's now the head of the NIH, for effectively saying we need to study these things, you know, we need to do empirical research on these lockdowns, on this mRNA vaccine, like, are these things going to work? These are actually empirical questions. We shouldn't just assume that because public health experts have said so, that this is what we need to follow. I think, you know, the last 5 years with the data coming in has largely shown that his take was probably the right one. And I think at least within some elements of the academic scientific community, that I'm optimistic that is will create a little bit more open-mindedness and not rushing to kind of just implement things that we think sound right. I'm not an epidemiologist, but as far as I can tell and what I've looked into and from some of the ones I've spoken with, there's not really a lot of peer-reviewed evidence to suggest that social distancing and the mask wearing that we did was going to be as effective as they said. And I think that was the point that Jay was making along with his colleagues when they wrote the Great Barrington Declaration. And, you know, in science, he's proposing an idea, and it's a testable idea, so we should test that idea. We shouldn't just label it a conspiracy theory and dismiss it. So I'm optimistic that in some spaces that has prompted some changes. But broadly, I mean, I still see a lot of the same things that we've seen to be wrong, like the research that we've done since COVID, I still see people repeating those. So on a broader sense, I don't know if we've learned very much.
Along those lines, can you talk about the challenges that come with the internet when it comes to free speech? Because I think most of us, well, actually, I don't know. Maybe we'll ask you about that later. I think I would hope most people understand that what we're free speech is that the government can't limit it. It doesn't mean that there's no consequences. If you say something and your business fires you because of something you said, that's not a violation of free speech. They want to have an image for their company. I think some people still get a little confused about that. But most people, I think, have the general understanding. Where I do think it gets a little complicated is with an industry that is regulated by the government, and where you may, and during COVID, at least reports are, you had government officials, hey, you need to take that down. That's not the message we're trying to get out. Well, that, I mean, we're into some at least gray area when it comes to the internet. Can you just talk about the challenges of what is or isn't an infringement on free speech when it comes to the internet in particular?
Yeah, so I think we, at FIRE, we can distinguish and do. There's free speech in the legal sense, which is what you've described with, that's protection from the government. The government is not, there's some limited domains where the government actually does have to act to protect your ability to hear someone else, right? Like if someone's trying to shout down a speaker in a public domain, like that's violating someone else's right to listen.
Yep.
So the government should, government actors should step in and allow this speech to continue. Those are much rarer instances. But we'll also talk about a culture of free speech, which I think that's like when people do get upset over, I tweeted something online and then a mob of thousands of people came after me and I lost my job. Yeah, that's a consequence. But I think what people get upset about is the mob, like the mob aspect of it. And it's like a thing that, if you said quietly to your two buddies in the bar, probably nothing happens. So I think the challenge comes in with social media being this, there's a wide audience out there now for most people, a much wider audience than I think we're psychologically equipped to handle. I think I've spoken about this before with Scott. We're kind of ideally, we're built to live with like 100 in a community of like 100, 200 people. And you're on social media, and now millions of people are exposed. You're exposed to the thoughts of millions of people. They can see your thoughts. And so it's a much more challenging speech environment because, there's that many more people out there that might get offended by what you said, and that many more people that they can rally in support of, dealing consequences out to you. So I think that it's a very tricky thing because I don't think we can turn this spigot off of social media. It has a lot of problems. It also has its benefits as well. And so it's like we have to figure out a way to balance this better.
All right, let's put in a break here. Our guest again is Sean Stevens from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. When we come back, Sean, I've got some recent instances that have made the news involving free speech. And yeah, we got to talk about college campuses because we got a big one kind of right next to us, right over here. So stay tuned for that, friends. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388. Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
It's the 42nd Annual Belfont Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Belfont. Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, in beautiful downtown Belfont, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at BelfontFair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. A little open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show.
All right. Freedom of speech. First Amendment, along with some other freedoms in the First Amendment. We're talking with Sean Stevens from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. We'll mention their website, which is really informative. It's thefire.org or thefire.org. Check out their website. Now, Sean, real quick, I actually got the website up, and right at the top of the page, your president or leader, and I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. Greg, how do you pronounce Lukianoff. His last name?
Lukianoff.
Lukianoff, okay. He apparently did one of those TED Talks, which I think they're pretty cool. TED Talks.
Mm-hmm.
And without me, you know, playing it or something, what was the purpose of his TED Talk?
It's basically walking through, the importance of free speech, why we need to be kind of eternally vigilant for it, why it's always under threat, what is not protected, why it's important, as I kind of mentioned a little bit before the break, why it's important to promote a culture of free speech. So this moves beyond just free speech in the legal sense, and it's building a culture of people who can disagree without being disagreeable with each other.
Huh. Yeah, I also do wonder if do you have any surveys or anything? Or my evidence here is very anecdotal, and I'll admit that. But it does seem like that maybe the younger generations here are not as maybe up to date on what free speech actually is. Like I've seen some interviews, and it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm all for free speech. And then it's like, all right, well, you know, should the Ku Klux Klan be allowed? Well, no, you can't have that. Well, I again, when we were growing up, I mean, it was clearly taught, like, you don't have to agree with the speech, and in fact, free speech is actually, you need to be fighting for speech that you completely disagree with. That is the whole idea. And it feels like maybe we're losing the concept here a little bit with the younger folks.
I think that's a good read. About 10 years ago, I was working at Heterodox Academy and New York University before I worked at FIRE, and John Haidt and I put out a series of pieces effectively arguing that the younger generation seems to be less tolerant and has different attitudes towards free speech. This kind of spurred a debate with some other academics. And our stance at the time was effectively, look, we're seeing these trends in the data, but there's only like a few years of it. So sure, the jury's still out, but we think this is effectively going to be borne out as time goes on. This past year, Greg Lukianoff and I basically updated that series with the rest of the decade of data, which I think kind of bears the story out that the younger generation is less tolerant and more willing to call for censorship of speech they dislike. That in and of itself isn't like a new thing. That's a pretty common thing with most people going back to at least the 1950s, if not before, in survey data. If you ask people, hey, are you for free speech? Do you think it's important? How important is it? Pretty much everybody says, yes, I'm for it. Of course, I defend it, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, well, what about the Nazis? Or what about this conservative guy over here? What about this progressive person over here who said something objectionable? And then you start to see the support drop. So that's not unique to this generation, but I think you see it as stronger. And a thought I have on that, and this is more of a hypothesis, and I wouldn't be able to support this as strongly with data, but I think, to go back to what we were talking about a little bit before the break, I think the social media has something to do with that. Kids are, I remember dialing up to connect to the internet, meaning like I remember the internet being like released to the public kind of as a thing, versus people getting to college today. They've been online their whole lives. They've been on social media for years, and social media affords them the ability to basically curate their experience. So they're used to being able to do that.
Are we seeing an uptick in action against free speech? Meaning, you know, we every now and then, and I wouldn't say it's necessarily all that frequent, but this speaker at this rally, and then either there's like an actual physical assault or people, you know, there's a table set up and it's like, well, we'll destroy the table and we'll rip up the banners and that kind of stuff. Instead of, again, what I always suggest is if you see a sign that you don't like, what I like to do is look at it, say, huh, boy, that's a stupid sign, and then I walk past it and I move on with my day. Seems like we have some folks that are just unwilling or unable to do that.
Yeah, so we actually maintain three different databases, and so what I'll say is relative to campuses and not off campus. But we maintain three different databases that look at speech controversies and their outcomes. The first one is the campus deplatforming database. So this looks at basically invited forms of expression. So most of the entries here are individual speakers or panel discussions. But there's also things like artwork, play performances, movie screenings in there as well. We have a Scholars Under Fire database, which like what it sounds like, it's professors and postdocs and PhD students, but basically academics are targeted for sanction. and punishment. And then we have a students under fire database, which is the equivalent one, but for students and student groups. So two of these, the platforming database and the scholars under fire one, we've got over 25 years of data. The student one, our data only goes back right now. What we've put up on the site only goes back to 2020. We have stuff going back to about 2015, but it takes a lot of time to kind of code those entries and get them in there. But basically, across the board in these databases, your intuition is borne out that calls to sanction expression in all of these databases have increased over the past 10 years. In the platforming one specifically, we track outcomes of, was the attempt just an attempt and did they speak successfully, or was the event canceled? Did the speaker withdraw? Was the event disrupted or attempted to be disrupted? Those latter two have all increased tremendously over the past decade. They're at record levels now. The last 2 years of that database have recorded the most deplatforming attempts in history, in the history of our data. We're basically talking about one attempt every, 3 or 4 days on a college campus.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was hoping you were going to tell me, no, that's all gone. So
I'll clarify, though, that that's attempts, a lot of those don't succeed, right? So those are attempts to get a speaker canceled, but that's happening a couple times a week, basically. And then a number of them do succeed, and speakers get shouted down or canceled, et cetera. So the trend is upward for that.
Interesting.
I would have thought it was headed in the other direction. That's interesting. All right.
Brief dip during the COVID years because no one was on campus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a thought.
One benefit. Yeah. We found the one benefit.
Oh, boy. All right. Now, Sean, this is Scott. One thing that drives me crazy, because I don't know, I'm an old-fashioned prude. I don't know. In the past year, I've seen an absolute uptick in the use of the F word in public discourse. Protests where people are toting signs, and there's the F word, usually followed by Trump, all right, or something. And, of course, the F word is spelled out. I'm seeing it in journalistic stories where in the past, it would be F and some dashes. Now they're just putting the word right in there. Boom. Hunter Biden does an interview this week where it's like every third word is an F-bomb, 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 F-bomb. Nothing is beep, beep, beep. We're not hearing any of that anymore.
It's getting effing ridiculous is what it is.
That's right. There we go.
Absolutely right.
I mean, okay, is that freedom of speech, Sean? That just F-board, F-word, F-word. That drives me nuts because it's the old-fashioned prude in me. Like, stop using that language. But is that free speech? People are perfectly allowed to use speech like that.
Yeah, I mean, subtle. So yes, the word's protected. I think you can find examples where maybe someone would consider it rising to the level of, excessive use, perhaps. If it's used, a lot and used in a very aggressive way, you could get into that domain, but that's probably rare and difficult. I think some of this is also, there's calls to be more edgy on certain sides of the political spectrum right now and be more angry about things. So I think that's part of what's happening too. But the word itself is protected. I think a journalist per se, though, an editor could say, I don't want you putting that in there. And that's not necessarily them infringing on their speech. It's them making kind of an editorial decision. So I think there's some gray areas there when it's talked about with you're an employee of an outlet, a media outlet. But in general, the word is protected speech.
Great. I'm not a fan, as you can probably tell. All right, here's one. Now, it's interesting how much of this navigates late recently to colleges and universities. And I'm assuming you're familiar with this one because you're down in Philadelphia. We're here. This is closer to you. Muhlenberg College or Muhlenberg University recently fired a professor, a woman who ironically is Jewish, but she clearly does not like the current Israeli government. And she spoke out about that. I guess on social media she spoke out about that. Mm-hmm. And some people objected. And they went to, I guess, whoever's in charge of Muhlenberg. They called her on the carpet. And they fired her. And I may not like the opinion she shared, but I think she was unfairly fired. Now, you say, yeah, you're familiar with this story, all right? I mean, this sounds like free speech, just screaming free speech. How did this woman lose her job? What do you know there?
You're talking about Roz Segal, I believe. She was a tenured professor. She's a genocide scholar, actually. And she's effectively argued that the Israeli military is committing genocide in Gaza. Like, that's her argument. And not only was she fired from Muhlenberg, she was actually had been invited to give a talk at Northeastern, and that talk was canceled following this. She tweeted comments about Israel's military actions in Gaza. In her view, it's a genocide. I think Muhlenberg, we're seeing a lot of this, not a lot, we're seeing this certainly more than we did under the prior administration. I think there's a lot of colleges and universities who they're almost like preemptively trying to get out in front of avoiding an investigation. Hey, the Trump administration, like how they've been started, Harvard, Columbia, UPenn, et cetera, I think this could have been an attempt to get out in front of that, not wanting to be seen as not standing up strongly enough to anti-Semitism. But here's where I think, fire, we disagree with this international human rights definition, the proposed definition of anti-Semitism. I mean, yes, I could see how there are definitely people who any Semites are going to be critical of Israel regardless, right? But not every criticism of the nation of Israel rises to the level of anti-Semitism. I think it's dangerous to kind of have the concept creep that way. I think that's largely what happened here to Roz Segal is, she's criticized the government, but under the new definition of anti-Semitism that a lot of colleges and universities have adopted, that's now anti-Semitic speech.
Yeah,
Fire doesn't agree with that. I we don't think she should have lost her job, and the troubling thing.
I mean, is anybody, counter-suing Muhlenberg? Like, hey, you shouldn't have fired her. She had free speech. That's not a fireable offense, or is it a fireable offense anymore?
Under this definition of anti-Semitism, it could, if a university has adopted that, it could then fall under like a Title VI violation if they're being if it's ruled as anti-Semitic and then it's quote discriminatory. But this is kind of like a legal game where it's like you have plausible reasons for doing it and you're just kind of arbitrarily applying this law to one scholar but not to another one.
All right, Donald Trump. This is very this is subjective. Donald Trump pretty much is suing anybody, any college, any media outlet that says things that he doesn't like. Now, there are some folks on the left. That's how they would describe it. All right? And yay, nay, folks, you can figure that out on your own. All right? But, he's had settlements with a couple of big media outlets because they did things he didn't like. And, of course, there's the whole deal with Harvard right now. And so, Sean, isn't all that free speech? What? I mean, where does that fall?
Some of it might be aggressive, and I don't know if he will win all of the suits. I think, the example this week is a very interesting one, or last week, I guess, with CBS and Stephen Colbert. The timing looks suspicious. It definitely causes a smell, but I'd be shocked to find there being some kind of smoking gun that connects it all the way up to the White House and them directly saying, you must fire Colbert. I think it's probably more like what we just talked about with Roz Segal and Muhlenberg. CBS is kind of like, hey, this will probably help us if we just do this. And so And then you also bring in things like another way that they can kind of be like, well, we were going to do this anyway. The show loses $40 million and the ratings are down. So there's all these reasons to do it. But it just, you know, it doesn't pass. For a lot of people, it won't pass the smell test because of the timing. You know, I think some of his lawsuits, I defamation ones, yeah, he's free to do that. That can be hard to prove. He won the one against 60 Minutes. We'll see what happens with this Wall Street Journal one. Other ones I think were, you know, as a pollster, I don't get the lawsuit of Ann Seltzer. She had an outlier poll. She put the results out. That happens. I actually immediately thought that poll was an outlier and didn't believe it for a second because it was kind of like, that's just not close to what any of the other polls in Iowa have said for the past 3 months. You know, I think that one was probably a little more excessive and maybe not necessary. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, he is legally, you know, free to file these lawsuits and do these things.
All right. Actually, the follow-up on that one, all right? When there is information out there that is clearly inaccurate, and I was thinking about this as I was prepping for our chat today, there's a group of folks called the Flat Earth Society. They believe that the Earth is flat. And I think they do it with a straight face. This isn't a gag.
Well,
they what?
In Iowa, they're right. It is absolutely. Is that not what they're talking
about? Well, not quite. This is like the whole planet is flat, okay? Even though we got a space station up there revolving around the planet, and we've taken pictures of the planet. So the flat Earth people are clearly inaccurate. And so when they go out and spiel, I mean, is that free speech, Sean? Because it is 100% inaccurate.
Generally is. And I say generally because there can be at least one exception. And it's funny that you picked that because this is an exception that I've written about in peer-reviewed papers at a university with a professor who has, you know, free speech rights and academic freedom. If a French literature professor decides to, you know, takes a question in class, assigns some reading and flat earth theory gets mentioned and a student asks them about it and he brings up his beliefs and advocates for flat earth theory in class, I mean, there's not much you could do to the French literature professor other than acknowledge that he's got some very curious beliefs. He was addressing a student question in class that came up from the reading, so it's legitimate for him to kind of be on this topic. However, if he was a geology professor, the university could fire him because it's like, okay, no one in your field thinks this, and you have no evidence for this. So there's narrow instances where that wouldn't necessarily be protected, but for the most part, it's you got some people with some very curious beliefs there, and the best we can do is challenge them and point out why they're wrong.
All right. Yeah, just
Even crazier. There are people out there that think within the next couple of years the Pittsburgh Pirates could get to the postseason. I mean, nut jobs, absolute nut jobs, but they're out there.
That'd be you, apparently. Yeah.
No, okay. I once thought that. I no longer.
All right,
that's going.
All right, a couple minutes and we're done. Now, I mean, Sean, we got to talk about colleges very quick. All right, because you guys come out. I assume it's October, right? When the
September, early September.
Okay.
Yeah, early September. We'll be putting out this year's college free speech rankings. It's usually right around waiver day, like either like the Thursday before or the Thursday after.
All right, well, I'll be in touch because we'd like to have you on again to see.
Yeah.
Again, I'm holding, again, this is from your website, thefire.org. There's a lot of great information there. From your ranking from last year, I think you had around 250 schools on the ranking. So not every college is on there.
Nope.
No, not even close. But of the 250, you have Penn State ranked number 228.
Yeah.
That's not very good. Yeah. Do you? I don't know if you have this in front of you. Off the top of your head, why is Penn State so low?
So they have part of the ranking involves our policy reform team's rating of school speech policies. And so schools earn a bonus for having what's known as a green light rating. and they get penalized if they have a yellow light or a red light. It's kind of like a traffic light system. A green light means they don't have any policies on the books that seriously threaten freedom of speech. Yellow light is one or more of these are ambiguously worded. and so they can be like arbitrarily applied effectively when, you know, a university feels like applying them. And then red light is like these policies clearly are unconstitutional and threaten freedom of speech. So Penn State has a yellow light rating on speech policies. And then there's been schools also can gain or lose points based on how they resolve the speech controversies that we track. And so Penn State has a few that I know they got dinged for. There was an incident a few years ago with Gavin McGinnis, and I think it was Alex Stein. They were trying to hold like a comedy event or something, and the event got disrupted and wasn't able to be held. When that kind of happens, that sticks with the school for a few years. So they've had that bringing them down a little bit too. I'm looking at where they are. Well, I will say, I can give a little preview. They do better. They're going to do better in the fall. This year,
all right.
But still leave a lot to be desired, basically. But they are better.
All right, final question.
I guess we'll take improvement.
Final question.
Yeah. Maybe that's because Gavin McKenna signed there. I don't know. I'm a big hockey fan, so you guys got the big whale.
I'm telling you, we can hardly wait for hockey.
Now, a final question before we let you go, Sean. Again, you've got a bunch of markers here and things that you track and so on. You've got a line in, or a section in here, it says majority viewpoint, which I assume means the majority of people on campus. This is their
students.
Who's that?
Yeah, majority of students. The majority of students, what their political viewpoint is.
And you have Penn State listed as conservative.
I found
that interesting.
I'll tell you, it probably would be better characterized as mixed, to be honest.
Okay.
I think they're probably – I'd have to look it up. I don't have it right in front of me.
Right.
But it's – they're probably something like almost even. Like it's a ratio of like 1.05 to 1 or something. So it's probably very close.
Huh. Yeah, actually, you do have that down here. It's 1 to 1.05. So it's like 50-50.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, and this is based on our sample. So – we have a sample of probably like 400 or 500 students from Penn State. Obviously, it's a big university. It probably is more of a liberal. I would say it probably, if we surveyed every single one, it'd probably come out as more on the liberal end for sure, but probably not as liberal as places like schools in California, in New England, et cetera. I mean, we have some places that are 5-1, 10-1, 15-1. Smith College has notoriously multiple times in our survey not had a single conservative show up.
Boosh. Okay.
Wow. So things like that is basically yeah. So as skewed as it might feel on Penn State, I think it's actually probably a lot of the big state schools are a lot more balanced than some of the more private or smaller liberal arts colleges.
Well, Sean, we appreciate your time.
Yes,
thanks
thank
much.
You.
When
yep.
your new ranking comes out, I'll be in touch because we'd like to have you on again.
All right. Great. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you
so much.
Again, that's Sean Stevens from FIRE. Again, their website, thefire.org. I tell you, fascinating reading on there. It really is. We got to take a quick break. We'll have just a couple minutes left here on Let's Talk when we come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 98.7thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon you'll be a 98.7 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info. And enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider. Only from 98.7 The Fox.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season, heat in the winter, AC in the summer, plus 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick-connect load loader and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX 2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughtry Equipment's Fair Savings Event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX 2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now at Daughtry Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Bellefonte. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Bellefonte. Brothers Pizza, downtown Bellefonte.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now, when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
800-930-2263. 800-930-2263. 800-930-2263.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
It's the 42nd Annual Bellefonte Arts and Crafts Fair, a committee of historic Bellefonte. Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, in beautiful downtown Bellefonte, and admission is free. Enjoy juried artists offering handmade original work, youth artists, live entertainment, children's activities, and delicious food vendors. New this year, hometown crafters. Learn more at BellefonteFair.org and follow them on Facebook. Sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Well, a lot to tell you about in this last segment. Boy, I've been saving up. Give me just, about 10 minutes here to get into this. This is, what's that?
Uh-oh.
The show's over!
I'm sorry.
What?
we went long with Sean. Sean's great.
Yeah, it was, I do want to follow up a little bit on the discussion with him. I also want to talk a little bit about, the metal detectors at State College here and kind of what this may or may not mean moving forward. In the meantime, have a great Tuesday.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.